Tonight, you know, as we wrap up this series, and I love talking about the Holy Spirit, and you know, we've been going through this book of Romans in chapter 8, and tonight we're gonna continue in this, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start reading tonight in verse 22, and if you have your Bibles, I didn't tell Verna this, but she's pretty quick about getting it up there. But if you have your Bibles, you want to read along. I don't know what translation you have. Some of the different translations, they read a little bit different. This is in, there's actually two NIVs. This is the older NIV, and so if it reads a little bit different sometimes. Let's pray before we read. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word, Lord. Lord, let us learn from it tonight, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit be in complete control. Lord, move anything aside that may hinder your word from being spoken tonight. And so, Lord, I just ask again, Lord, just clear our minds and open up our hearts that we may receive everything that you have for us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But the hope that is seen is no hope at all. No hope for what they already have. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about hope in the Spirit. And that's what Paul's addressing right here. There is hope in the Spirit. We have a hope of a future in heaven. And I know we talk about heaven. I talked about it this morning. I talk about these things that are in the future. But that is what we're looking forward to. And we're patient about it. But it's something that we eagerly look forward to. And Paul is saying, we ourselves even, we groan. We want to see heaven. We actually just eagerly groan for it. Because that's what we're looking forward to. That's what our hope is built on. Amen. I mean, I want to emphasize that tonight. I want you to understand that our hope is not here on this earth anymore. We are children of God, like we talked about this morning. I'm a child of God, and my hope is not placed in the things of this world. My hope is placed in Jesus Christ, and my hope is placed in a eternal place built for me in heaven. And that's what I'm looking forward to. So tonight we're going to talk about this hope in the Spirit. And the Spirit gives us these intercessions. It communicates from one spirit to the other, from our spirit to His spirit. And so, do you ever feel like you just don't quite belong in this world anymore since you've been saved? Do you ever feel like there's just something, you just don't feel like you, there's nothing here for you anymore? And as a believer, I say that, you know, that it's really a common feeling for a lot of believers. Because this world is really not our home anymore. We were really made for heaven. That's what God created us for. We're made to be sons and daughters. We're made for that. That's something to get excited about. That's something to look forward to. That's the hope that we have here on earth. The things that we go through, the pains and the struggles of the body, they're only temporary. And that one day, we're going to walk into heaven. all that mess that we've had to deal with down here, we won't have to deal with it any longer. And so, you know, this is the message that the Apostle John also talked about. When he said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, that's the life that I'm talking about. The life not here, but the life there in heaven. You know, the Apostle Paul writes, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. See? He who raised Jesus, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He's saying lives within you and will take you on to heaven. That's the same Spirit. In Romans 8:11, Paul states that one day God will raise us from the dead and give us resurrection bodies through His Spirit. We will be glorified with Christ. In Romans 8:17, talks about that. You know, C.S. Lewis, he comments on the book that he wrote, Mere Christianity. I don't know if anybody's read that. It's really a good book. He said, a continual looking forward to eternal world, to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It's something, he says, you know, it's not something, it's not just wishful thinking. It's something that we're meant to do. It's something that's just built into us because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit knows that this place is not ours. Our place is in heaven. And so when you're saved and when the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, that Spirit is telling you, you just feel like you're not, this is not your place. This is not your home. You're just here temporary. And that one of these days, you're going to be home. You know, we sing a lot of songs about going home. Well, we're going home one of these days. And do you really understand that tonight? Do you understand that going home means, that really means that? One of these days, I'm going home where I belong. That's where I belong. You know, I know that, you know, when I worked away from home for about a year, I was gone from home for about a year. And I think it was in 2005, I think I was gone in Louisiana. I went down there just to be down there for a short time, end up staying almost a year. And that was during the hurricane seasons, you know. And but I wanted to be home. After a while, I mean, it was okay being down there, and I had a place to live down there. I had, you know, a nice little place to stay and all, but I didn't want to be there. I was there, I existed there, I did what I had to do, but I wanted to be home. You know, I had this desire. Every day I would think about that. I didn't dwell on it all the time, but there was always this desire in my heart. I wanted to finish up what I was doing so I could get home. See? And that's the way we are here. We should be this eagerness. You know, we're just here. We got to do a job while we're here. Jesus put us... He left us here. He says, now you go and tell the whole world about me. He left us here to do this job. But this is not our home. We're here, we dwell here, and we do the everything here in life. But it's not our home. And we want to finish up here so we can go home. And home is where our Lord is. Amen. And does that make sense? I mean, you ever have those thoughts where you just really don't feel like there's got to be more to this than this, right? Well, there is. There is in His promise. This truth is given to us in the Scripture. There's a place in heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go, and this is what He said. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and for me. Man, I wonder what that place looks like.
I wonder what that place looks like. What's your place look like? It's special, right? It's special. Because why? I think He's got a special place for each and every one of us. And He knows how. He knows everything about us. He knows what we like. And I think when we get there, it's not going to be like, well, I wish the wall color was different. I wished it was a little lighter. I don't like that. I don't think it'll be like that at all. I think when we walk in there, it'll say, this is perfect. This is more than I could ever imagine. This is exactly what I've been looking for. This is home.
Paul goes on to say in his letter to the Romans that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption of sons, as sons and daughters, the redemption of our body. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. We wait. But that, you know, that wait eagerly for it. Excited for that day to come. You know, Paul was excited. He said, if I'm to stay here, fine. But for me to be in heaven would be, you know, he used those words. He was excited when he got to talking about that because he knew that God had a plan for him when he was on the earth. He had to finish his job. But he said, heaven would be, you know, he had that eagerness in his writings. That if it was up to him, I'd just be in heaven. I wouldn't deal with this down here. But if this is where the Lord wants me, then I'll do what I have to do. But I'm looking forward to that day when I get to go to heaven. And I've said, you know, most of the disciples, all of them but one, was martyred to death. All the disciples were martyred to death. And one of them, when they drug him to crucify him, he preached and prayed to them the whole time. And they said after they hung him on the cross sideways, they did it in a different way than they did Jesus. They said until he took his last breath, he preached the word. But they said when the Roman soldiers was dragging him, when it was getting, he said, I have been waiting for this day all my life. I've been waiting for this time. This is my time. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. I've been waiting for this time. Now, can you imagine that? As they're dragging him to crucify him, and he's praising the Lord and just praising the Lord, saying, I've been waiting for this time to come. This is what I've been working for. That's something to me. Romans 8:23-25, the Holy Spirit Himself is the first fruits. And just as the first handful of ripened grain is a pledge of the entire harvest to follow, so the Holy Spirit is the pledge or the guarantee that a future full of inheritance will be ours. You think about that. Specifically, you know, it's a guarantee of the coming adoption, the redemption of the body. Ephesians 1:14 says that. And there was a commentary that I'd read, William MacDonald. He says this, he states this, he says, our hope for deliverance from the presence of sin and all its baneful results is based on the promise of God. And is therefore is as certain as if we had already received it. So we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You know, the Bible represented here the word in the English word of hope is what we're talking about tonight. Is so strong of a synonym for eager. It's an eager expectation. It's so strongly written there. This hope. You ever think about that? What the word hope really means? This eager expectation. That's what it is. An eager expectation. of a glorious life to come. You know, and it's because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that we groan ourselves within ourselves for the ultimate redemption of our bodies. You know, He placed this eternal perspective in us. Not just only in word here, but He placed it in us. This eternal expectation of what's to come. Man, that's exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to you. John Scott says this: "It is a fact that not one of us is wholly saved yet. Our souls are redeemed, but not our bodies. And it is our unredeemed bodies which causes us to groan." That was an interesting statement. You know, why does he say that? For one thing, our bodies are weak, fragile, and mortal. We get sick, we get tired, we have pain, and there's death as well. That's what our bodies, and Paul talks about that also in 2 Corinthians 5:2-4. But it is also the fact that the flesh of our fallen sinful nature dwells in our mortal bodies. And it is this indwelling sinfulness which causes us to cry out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Is what in Romans 7:24. Such a shout of anguish is precisely what Paul was talking about here. It's what he was talking about. This our present inward groaning, this acknowledging of things. In his own sinfulness, King David cried out to the Lord, "My iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. Lord, all my desires is before Thee, and my sighing is not hidden from Thee. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that is gone from me." Psalms 38:4-10. You know, this is what Paul says. Paul grieved over the remnants of his humanness that, you know, that clung to him. And, you know, the reality brought him to great spiritual frustration and anguish. And we can read that in Romans 7:24. In his second letter to the Corinthians, he reminds the believers of their same plight. That, you know, this we're just this tent. We're just this vessel here on earth. That's all we are. And that sometimes we suffer, and sometimes it's just a deep inner distress over, you know, the sinfulness that's in us, that's in man, that we struggle with, that we fight with all the time. And Paul assured the Corinthian believers that He who established us within Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us a Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So in hope we have been saved, is what he's saying. In hope we have been saved. You know, salvation is presently a hope and not yet a reality. So with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. One of these days. I mean, I just can't explain it. You know, it's hard to even write words that can explain how we feel. Paul does as good a job here as anybody could ever do. That we just know, if you're a believer, you know that this place is just temporary. And I want you to understand that. You know, God's going to bless you while you're here. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can endure and we can have happy lives here.
Spirit-filled lives. And that's what we've been talking about. That's what I've been hitting on, this life, this Spirit-filled life. He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can have an abundant life here. But we know that this is just temporary, and one of these days, we're going to heaven. You know, I use the word happiness, but it seems like the pursuit of happiness seems to be what people dwell on. You know, we want to be happy. We want to be happy in the things of this world. But the things of this world will never bring us happiness. Only the things that we can hope for in heaven will we ever know and understand what true happiness is. And that's the hope that we have through the Holy Spirit. The hope that the Holy Spirit brings. You know, this world is not my home. There's a writing here. It's an old spiritual song. And it says, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." That's a good place right there. I like that little song, that little poem. This is not our home. I'm longing. The songs that we sing, even most of the writers, most all the songs that we sing, are written with the hope and the eagerness of going home, going to heaven. I'm kind of homesick. Remember that song? For a country, Beulah Land. That's such a great song. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. But see, we're here for now. But one of these days we're going to be in heaven. Amen? Amen. You looking forward to that day? Amen. Just put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in the one that will take you to heaven. I'll put it that way. Oh, man. The last thing that Paul says, and I'm going to finish up tonight with this, the last thing that Paul talks about in Romans, and I don't want to leave this out because it's so important, is he talks about praying in the Spirit. He talks about praying in the Spirit and in how the Holy Spirit communicates with groanings that we don't even understand. But he takes our words, he takes our thoughts, he takes from our spirit, through Him, He communicates with the Father in heaven. And that's a special thing. So when you say you pray, when you pray in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit delivering those messages right to the throne. Amen. That's something special, isn't it? Paul's talking about that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And I hope that these things that we've talked about over the last couple weeks here, I hope that they've helped you in your life, but you can go back and read through what Paul says, and I encourage you to do that. Read chapter 8 of Romans and review what we've talked about over the last couple weeks. What the Holy Spirit does for us as Christians. I mean, as a believer, it's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for being here with us tonight, Lord. Just let us leave better than we came, Lord. Let us be full of your Spirit, Lord. We're eager, Lord. Lord, I know that one of these days, Lord, I know you're going to take me home, and I'll be home with you, Lord. I just praise you. I thank you, Lord. Be with the sick again, Lord. I just pray for Mark right now. Lord, I know he's hurt his back. He's down his back, or he'd have been here tonight. So, Lord, right now we just pray that you go to him, Lord, and just heal him. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.